Well, hello, hello. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station. A very warm welcome to a rather special edition of Acupuncture Point. Oh, hello there. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station with over 1.4 million people. 1.4 million people tuning in every single week. So thank you so much for your support. And I'm just absolutely gobsmacked every time I say that. Now, at the very start, I mentioned that we've got a rather special show lined up for you today. Earlier on this week, I went up to the gorgeous, gorgeous part of England called Leamington Spa. And just on the outskirts of there is some glorious rolling English countryside. And that is where today's guest, Judy Becker Worsley, lives. In a beautiful, beautiful little farm with sheep and chickens, and it's really, really rather lovely. Judy Becker Worsley is a very wonderful person in the whole world of acupuncture. She was a devoted student of Professor J.R. Worsley since 1973, and he designated her to succeed him as Master of the Lineage upon his death, which sadly happened in June 2003. And I'm absolutely delighted that we're going to be talking with Judy during the show today. We're also going to be playing another marvellous round of Game of Themes. And if you'd like to join in the fun, all you need to do is to see if you are able to connect the dots and guess the common theme that links together all of the frankly fabulous music that I'm going to be playing for you in today's show.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer. part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hello there. You are listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. I'm really thrilled to be sitting here in Judy Becker Worsley's kitchen, which is beautiful, surrounded by artwork and just colour and light. Welcome, Judy Worsley.
Thank you. It's so wonderful having you here. I love, and Sarah.
We've also got a wonderful friend, Sarah Matheson, who's sitting opposite us at the kitchen table, who's also going to be joining in from time to time.
Hello, welcome everybody.
Yahoo! Welcome. Okay, so Kevin, what would you
So I'd like to kick off by, you have been involved in five element acupuncture for decades. What for you is the beauty of five element acupuncture?
Can I start by quoting the Queen? Thank you for making me feel old. I have been involved for decades, five decades, almost five decades come this January. I come from a very traditional background, for reasons that I don't need to go into now. I had a traditional university and graduate school training. My dad is in the medical world. He was a surgeon. And what captivated me was seeing a book when I was in law school talking about acupuncture. I thought, wow, this makes sense. Because up until that point, the explanation of what we're supposed to do in our life, get educated, get a job, get married, have children, look forward to retirement so then you can enjoy yourself, didn't make sense to me. So I went off looking for an acupuncture teacher, and to make another very long story short, I ended up traveling to England because of Professor J.R. Worsley's reputation. And what he was teaching was five-element acupuncture. And I have to say that I had been to look at many programs in California and here, there, and everywhere, and nothing was captivating. So I would move on looking elsewhere. And I thought the same was happening in England, in Kenilworth, the first morning of JR's program. I hadn't met him, but he had somebody reading out papers. And I started looking at my watch, thinking I'm going to go and get on a plane back to Miami tonight. And JR came in and started speaking. And honestly, I felt like I was struck by lightning. It was the genuineness with which he spoke about this is a way of life. It's how you live. You can help other people. Devoted to natural law, the natural order. It's not only how we can live and be well and happy, but we can also help other people. And I just thought, wow. And the wow continues.
The wow continues.
The wow continues, even more than ever. Even surviving the challenges of the world we live in, and there are many. So it's the beauty of this system called five-element acupuncture, which we now call Worsley five-element acupuncture, because there's so many people describing what they do as five-element, but it's become very varied in its practice, is that it is based simply on natural law. And the ancient Chinese spoke of this, they wrote about it, they taught it, they transmitted it through oral traditions, and somehow JR had a gift of understanding it from the inside out and sharing it in a way that he reached other people from the inside. and I'm one of them.
That's beautiful.
It was, yes, it's been an amazing, I'm very lucky to have had this life.
I'm looking because we've got a sweet pussycat who's just walking into the corner.
Hello,
doing
sweetheart.
Something cute.
Oh.
Doing something very, very cute.
She usually is too shy to cut, so you should feel honored that she wants to be with us.
There's good energy in the room.
Lovely. Did that answer your question?
It did.
Okay.
It did. I remember, so I've been an acupuncturist now for 17 years, and I love it. Every day that I see patients, I love it. Sometimes more than others, because as we know, sometimes some patients can be more challenging than others. But I remember coming along to see you about probably 17 years ago or 18 years ago, in order to get my causative factor decided. And I came along to a clinic in Leamington, and you and a team of trainees, some of your trainees, came along, and I was given an acupuncture treatment on that day.
JR wasn't there.
JR wasn't there. He'd already died.
He died 19 years ago, yes, okay.
And I went home on the train, and something glorious was happening inside of me. And I have a wonderful memory of people on the escalators down into the tube waving at me. There was something so glorious. And I remember feeling huge and ample and happy and radiating confidence. And that was because of that one treatment. It was a splendid, splendid effect. It had a huge, profound effect on me.
How lovely. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you for the treatment.
It's not me. It's as JR would describe it, being an instrument of nature is the greatest gift you could ever enjoy. Ever. So I'm glad that you took that experience and turned it into your profession.
Yeah.
Helping other people.
Yes.
Nothing could be better.
I love, just from a practitioner's experience, I love when people come along into my clinic and they're feeling really sad, really low, and you do some points, and all of a sudden they can feel brighter and happier and more at ease. And it's nothing to do with me. I've not injected anything. It's all within themselves.
Rhea, that's a beautiful way of putting it. Yes.
Yes,
we're assisting nature to do what nature's instinct is, which is to promote well-being.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we as human beings either have habits or experiences or thought processes which make feeling well more difficult.
Yes. Yes. Now, I mentioned earlier on that you've been in the game for a while. What continues to motivate you about being involved with acupuncture?
Wow, that's a big question. Well, the same exact thing that hooked me at the beginning, which is a love for the very simple truth, which the Chinese taught and JR taught, that what's within us is also around us. So being in love with nature in the macrocosm is also a relationship of being in love with what's within me. So just being in love with that is what keeps me going and wanting to share that with other people. Now, on a practical level, what also has kept me highly motivated is that I made a promise to JR and to myself to perpetuate the system as faithfully as possible. And that's what I'm dedicated to. I mentioned before there are challenges, and the challenges are minimized by the fact that I work with a wonderful group of people. So that keeps me going, that the people I work with are family and best friends and colleagues and soulmates, and we're all united and bonded by a common love. you could call it a purpose, but it's also a love for what we're able to do together and to keep alive. Because it is challenging. The world we live in, as we all know, just in the broad sense of the word, has got a lot of challenges to that, which, by the way, J.R. predicted. In 1973, when I first was studying with him, he was very concerned about the future of our planet. He used to say, our Mother Earth, we can't keep taking from her without giving back. He says, you deplete your mother doing that. He says, it's a relationship. And at some point, our planet's going to suffer terribly. And he was very, very concerned. And he was not a hippie. By the way, this man who came in and knocked me off my feet when he first started teaching was dressed immaculately in a three-piece suit, a starched collar, just impeccably dressed, and was speaking about spirit and love and God. And it was riveting. So and nature and our planet and the issues that you might think would be associated with somebody in a more, what do you call it?
Wearing more hemp.
Yes, or new age, or however you want to put it. But he even went, the first time I ever went to the beach with him, he showed up in a suit. He said, I don't like the beach. He showed up in a suit for us to go to the beach. I said, no wonder you hate the beach. So he was a very traditional man, very traditional in his values, very traditional in his manners, and speaking about this natural order was just riveting. It made it seem ordinary, which I loved, instead of making it precious. It's something for us all to engage with.
But keeping everything down to earth,
means
that then people can connect with it and engage with it.
Well, it is down to earth.
Yeah.
We all know there's seasons.
Yes.
We know that. It's a simple fact. And what we were guided to do is to notice the seasons with more acuteness and more awareness, and to also pay attention to the fact that associated with the seasons are other natural cycles. And those are all occurring within us and within patients. And if there's a disturbance in this natural order, a person will show distress signals.
Yes.
And those distress signals, as J.R. used to teach, will alert us to the fact that there's a problem long before there's symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
But in the West, we're taught to keep on muscling along until symptoms drag us to our knees.
Yes.
But the ancient Chinese went for treatment to maintain health. So that's another thing that I love about this medicine, is that it's a system of preventative care.
Mm-hmm.
It's to support people who want to be well, not be fixed. You don't have to wait until it's broken. You could actually have help maintaining health and well-being, and I think that's beautiful.
It is beautiful. You mentioned J.R. talking and being very accessible to people, and I wasn't lucky enough to meet him in person, but I have looked at various videos, and there's one video that makes me laugh.
The vanilla slice. Oh, sorry.
Not the vanilla slice. It is when he's talking about the husband-wife imbalance.
Right.
And right at the end of that, because there are pulses on either side of your wrist which correspond to the husband or the wife aspect of the body.
Okay.
And at the end of this, I mean, I'm telling you, but it makes me laugh every time I watch it. How to remember which side is which? Well, the wife is always on the right. And I like
Sarah that. Sarah likes that too.
Sarah likes that too. Sarah's being very good and very quiet in the back.
Sorry, I mentioned Vanilla Slice. I recommend you watch that one as well. He's very funny. He's a very funny person. He had a fantastic sense of humor. And quite a comedian.
But again, this is how you touch people. I believe that if you deliver any sort of message, and it's really dry and really boring, who's going to want to listen to that message? No one.
Some people who are... Never mind. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not appealing to me.
No, it's not engaging.
Well, what JR was genuine, and that's what's missing in a lot in our world. There's so many systems and politics and ways of being that are based on proving yourself.
Yes.
And I think the social media trend has enhanced that side of human nature, so that people are counting how many likes they get on Facebook or how many this and that and how many followers. And it's creating a social situation that is in some ways damaging.
Absolutely.
Because it's cultivating a sense that we're here to prove things to each other. We don't have to prove anything. We just have to be ourselves, genuinely. And that's where the bond is. The bond is in being open-hearted and humble. So JR talked about being a humble instrument is the challenge. Because, like I said, we're human beings that are tempted and cultivated and habituated to cultivate our sense of status. Mm. And appearances and placement in the world and who likes us, who doesn't like us, approval ratings, reviews. When I started practice in Oxford in 1973, we didn't have websites, we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have mobile phones. Can you imagine, any of you? Mm-hmm. We had a 2-year waiting list. We had a clinic. We couldn't afford anything except sheets that were hung up from the ceiling, separating the cubicles. People loved our clinic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think that this also comes when I first started to be a practitioner, with a friend of mine, we went out and we didn't have a lot of confidence. We got the most expensive rooms that we could in central London. You know, everybody goes through their Harley Street time, don't they? So we did that and it was ruinous. But we did it because we didn't feel that what we had was enough.
You needed the confidence from the society standards.
Yes, the status and, you know, dressing up in the big suit and going along and sitting there waiting for patients to come and thinking, oh dear, this is awful. And now, you know, I treat from home and it is the most wonderful, wonderful way to treat because it's simple. And frankly, it cuts down on my commute. And I love all of that. And I think that happiness feeds into the whole experience.
I just wanted to add that although our clinic was very basic, JR instilled in us, he was fiercely, dogmatic about how we presented ourselves. Mm-hmm. We were not allowed to have bare legs or bare feet, bare toes. If we wore open-toed shoes, we had to wear tights or stockings. Hair had to be pulled back. I had very long hair. I had to wear it tied back in a bun. Our hands had to be scrubbed. He'd check our hands. He'd check our nails. He'd check them. And if he saw a scrap of lack of hygiene, whether it was in odor or keeping our hands and nails tidy or clothes, we had to wear lab coats. He was scrupulous about that. He said, people deserve that you present yourselves in the highest value, the highest standard possible.
Wonderful.
He was really rigorous about that. I go to Portland sometimes or Seattle to see patients, and it's a casual area of America, the Northwest. And sometimes the observers and the practitioners are dressed in a downgraded way, which is appropriate for there. But I've haven't had it instilled in me. I wear a jacket and I do what I've been taught to do. Because you don't know who's going to come in. Even if it's one person in the day that is a J.R. Worsley, because he would feel uncomfortable being treated by somebody that wasn't of that standard. So I just wanted to make sure that I didn't present this as a casual...
Absolutely.
Only here to have fun thing. And we do have fun. That's the other thing. You ask me what keeps me hooked?
Yes.
I have fun. I enjoy myself. I love being with patients. I love being in class. I even love it when, like you said, there's challenges because I turn to my team and go, okay, now what? and we brainstorm how to dig deep to figure out a way to deal with the situation we've been presented with. Life is not supposed to be a smooth road. So the bumps are what make it interesting.
The bumps are what makes it interesting.
I was just going to say, please don't quote me on that.
I love that. I'm going to have that on a T-shirt.
Because when the if I had it on a T-shirt, that could be a little bit, although my quotes are not too significant. I don't know if I can get away with, what did I just say? The bumps make it interesting.
Yes, I love that. That's so funny.
Well, J.R.R. used to describe that it's the heat and what our interactions promote or trigger. He said it's like steel. Heat makes it stronger. He says you have to be challenged. You have to encounter things that make your character be confronted with situations where you choose the high road. So he says, if you don't have these opportunities, first of all, you don't develop, and secondly, you don't know what you're really made of. So boy, oh boy, there's some dark nights of the soul. It's not a smooth ride. It can be very lonely. It can be very challenging. It was very, very difficult after JR died. Very difficult. You know, there was a lot of challenging situations. But it makes you dig deep.
I would like to move on to spirit. Because every time...
Speaking of digging deep.
Speaking of digging deep. Oh, we've hit spirit level. So every time a five-element acupuncturist will meet another person. So what's so great about five-element? Well, we treat the spirit. What does that mean? What does treating the spirit mean? And are five-element acupuncturists correct, right, in saying this?
It's a misunderstanding to say that. Now, here's the key to us being worthy instruments of nature. Humility. Does that sound like a humble statement that we're treating the spirit? No. That's like saying I'm treating God. Spirit is God. No, that's not a humble thing. That's not a humble attitude. But the words are said without conscious attention. Because if you stop and go, am I really treating spirit? The answer is no. So what are we treating? What we're treating is the capacity within a person for them to experience the presence of spirit. And that's different. That's different. You don't treat spirit. Spirit doesn't get resigned or weak. Or what gets resigned or weak is the person's capacity to really fully wake up to who they are. Like you had the experience. You left the clinic and you were changed. It wasn't your spirit that was changed. It was Kevin's capacity to realize who you really are. You're this bright, shining light within yourself, this presence within you. But we don't treat that. That's nature. That's already there. So it's easy to slip into that. It's also easy to slip into it because J.R. would describe treating spirit level. He'd shorten it to treating spirit, but he always meant treating spirit level, which is the level within us, within our energy, that subtle domain where the presence of God or spirit or whatever word you want to put on it can be experienced. Now, when you experience that, life has a different dimension. Where that's where peace and freedom exists. So we realize that no matter what happens in our life, we have that presence within us that is who we really are. So we don't treat spirit. We are assistants of nature so that balance within a person can be restored so that they realize they are spirit. That's different.
That's lovely. Thank you.
Well, it's lovely. It is lovely. And it's the reality. But we're human beings and we slip into rhetoric. It becomes just easy rhetoric. And it's a shame because practitioners do it a lot. And the rhetoric you can almost start to believe the rhetoric, and then you're starting to believe what you're speaking. And if someone says, stop for a minute, do you really, really think that what you're saying has a core of truth to it? And if you really stop and scrutinize it, you'd have to say, no, it doesn't make sense. I'm not treating God. No. That's impossible.
We've got a few minutes. I would love to share with our audience some ways. Are there any ways that people can experience the elements that you've spoken about within themselves? Are there any ways that they can cultivate those sorts of feelings?
The answer is they already are, but there are ways to become more aware of it, yes. Because we all know, for instance, the difference of different emotions within us, and the emotions are all associated with elements. So we are experiencing it, but not in an orderly way. So the best way to know yourself is to know nature. And I don't mean you have to go out and get your nails dirty and dig holes in the ground. But it does mean paying attention to the natural order. The sounds, the odors, the temperature, the colors, the vastness of what nature gives us. And then you realize that that vastness is also within you. So I would steer people away from what the current trend is, which is to put labels on people. JR would not allow that, by the way. If somebody said so-and-so is doing something because they're an ex-CF, he'd say, don't talk like that, please. He would not allow it. He'd say, don't put people into boxes. Don't label people. That's, first of all, it's making a mockery. The word he used was mockery of this beautiful system of medicine. The system of medicine is not something that is provided for us to label each other as being either strong or weak. Mm. We are unique individuals. Unique. And we're not a label. We're not an element. Whether it's the strength or the weakness, those are all human concoctions. They're human fantasies. Nature doesn't do that. You don't go out in nature and nature doesn't say, hello, I'm a sunset. You go out and you experience the sunset. And you don't stand there going, now the sunset's created because of this chemical reaction, blah, blah, blah. It's there to be experienced. Same with us. We're here to experience life, not as a label. So the way to experience the seasons and the natural order is to experience what's going on, not only within yourself, but around you. Notice what happens with each season. And that will engage you from the inside in a way that you start to realize that all these vast changes happen within you. And it gives perspective. You can realize that there's the dead chair. I used to say this to me. I go, oh, I don't like what's going on. He go, darling, there's the day and the night. And I go, don't say that. He go, darling, there is the day and there's the night. We can't have day all the time. But I want day all the time. Mm. It'd say, darling, we have earthquakes. We have hurricanes. We have storms. We have conflict within us. Mm. So we've got these human-made values that we go around proclaiming that are unnatural, that there should be no conflict, for instance. You tell a lion that when it's taking down a deer or a little baby antelope. Mm-hmm. Don't hurt another being. There's the food chain. So there is violence and there is conflict and there is stress. It's our relationship with it that's important. So how do we experience the elements? By experiencing nature around us and within us without labels.
Without labels.
Without labels. The labels degrade our experience. Mm. I'm a unique individual made up of my genetic background, my experiences, my astrological makeup, elemental makeup, constitutional makeup. Unique Even my brother and I, who are very close, were from the same genetic background, are different in personality. We each have different tastes in different ways. I mean, we're very close and we're different. So it's the differences that give us our uniqueness. And this human thing of, well, you're a this or that CF is so damaging. Or that it's your strength. This is fantasy land. Our strengths are not made up by an element. Our strengths are made up by the gifts we've been given, but also what we do with them. So this idea of being labels, and it's the most damaging thing that five element practitioners can do. So if I get a 2 minute spot to say, please, let's not do that. It doesn't serve ourselves, it doesn't serve our colleagues, and it doesn't serve our patients to narrow people into these boxes. And to think that we can tick boxes to figure out who another person is. Well, first of all, again, the truth is, does that ring true to you? And the answer is no, there's something missing. If you fill out a questionnaire and you tick all these different boxes, is that really who you are? And the answer is no.
Absolutely.
And your preferences and who you are and your strengths, you can't narrow them down to be associated with one of five boxes. It's insanity. And what it does is it unhooks us from the challenge that to examine and to diagnose another person enlists us to be instruments that see, hear, smell, feel, and notice the inappropriate sound, and we have all these games to try to avoid the fact, you know what, I don't know what that odor is. And you got to go look in the mirror. Not go, oh, well, I'll make something up. Because they said that they like this kind of food or they have a sweet tooth. Oh, maybe that is fragrant. And then you go, okay, that must be fragrant. See how we're starting to make a fantasy trip to avoid the truth. And the truth is, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, do it again.
Be honest.
Yes. Be honest, and it means start again. I have been known to diagnose somebody at a consultation. I remember doing this in Maryland years and years ago. Jared was ill, and I diagnosed somebody as XCF, and as they were leaving, we were going to lunch. I went, oh, my gosh, I've missed it. I got it wrong. They're not, that's yellow. Oh, my. And I went, stop. To the organizer, I said, I've got to stay here for lunch. I need to see, can he stay? Can this patient stay? I've got to start all over again. And I had a moment of, oh my God, how am I going to explain this to people? How am I going to face the group? How am I going
to own up to this? As you're talking, Judy, as you're talking, I'm just thinking, thank heavens, because I'm forever getting my CF confused.
And I re-examined him, and I committed to what I thought he was, wrote it down. Would you believe the next year we went back there, Jer was with us, and they brought this person in, and he confirmed my second diagnosis.
Lovely.
But it was a confirmation for me, don't be afraid of admitting you either don't know or you're confused or you something like that.
Yes.
Jer, when he was in his final days, we were in a seminar, and he collapsed in the bathroom during one of the breaks, and it was very difficult. We were at an open seminar in Miami, and we had to take him to the hospital, and I said, I'm going to cancel the rest of the seminar, and he said, no, you need to do it. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. He said, you're going to have to do this someday without me. You need to start now. I'm like, no. Well, he said, yes. So I saw the patients in the day, and then we'd drive the patients across Miami to see him in the hospital. And I got some of them wrong. And I'd have to go back to class the next day and go, okay, this is what I did wrong. And Jair's final teaching to me, on the last day, he said, you're not doing the odor. And I said, how do you know? And he said, because I know you. You're getting too intent, you're trying too hard. Go get somebody from the hallway. He said, walk across the room and pick her hand up. Do not look at her. do not speak to her until you've got the odor. You don't have to label it, just experience it. And I said, okay. And he said, promise me from now on, for the rest of your life, that's what you're going to do. And do you know now when I knock on the door in consultations, I hear him go, odor first. It's my mantra.
Beautiful.
But it's hard. It's hard because you have to engage with the part of you that doesn't have the security of report cards, other people, thumbs up on Facebook. You don't have any of that. All you have is what you see in the mirror.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm going on a bit.
Judy.
Kevin.
I would love, so people listening are going to be going, I want to find out more. I want to learn more.
So do I.
How could, what's a good first step? Where's a good first resource for people to go to?
To learn about five element acupuncture as J.R. Worsley taught it, which in my view is gorgeous. I'm not going to do a comparison. Go to the WorsleyInstitute.com. It's a not-for-profit organization foundation that he co-founded for the specific purpose of protecting, preserving, and promoting what he was given. It's not what he came up with. It's not what he invented. It's what he was given by his masters. It's an oral tradition. It's what he was mentored in doing. And he was very clear. He said, Judy, when I'm not here, there's going to be a lot of commotion. And you're going to need to, he says, I know you can handle this. Well, sometimes I think, honey, I think you were wrong on this one because it's tough. But the Worsley Institute is a fantastic vehicle. Everybody who works there are dedicated, honest people who are in love with this work and want to share it with other people in a pristine, honest way. There's an honesty that's, in my view, sort of becoming more and more of a rare commodity in today's world. So WorsleyInstitute.com, there's also a Worsley Institute training in England, which was just set up to go back to teaching what JR taught, which was not 4 years of hell, accreditation hell. Excuse me, but am I allowed to say that?
You can say whatever
you want. I couldn't do it. I went to law school. I went to 4 years at a very good university in America. It's a top school, Washington University. Then I went to law school because my mom wanted me to, she was dying, said, will you stay with your dad? So I stayed, went to school, graduated law school, very high in my class. So I'm capable of doing the academics. I don't want to live that way. And I see acupuncture training turning that way because of the accreditation steering and the academic bells. You don't need to do that. You need to be devoted and dedicated to learning what you need to learn and then spend the rest of your life learning. J.R. used to say, you can't be a good teacher unless you're a good student. And he was the best student I've ever met until the day he died. 2 days before he went into a coma, he was still asking questions, laying in the hospital bed. Honestly, He was amazing as a student. He wanted me to read to him from some of his favorite books, from Pema Chodron or from The Power of Now had come out. Because he said, oh, they're making sense when they talk this way. Because so much of the world we lived in didn't make sense to him. He'd go, that Eckhart Tolle, he's making a bit of sense here, you know. So there we go. So WorsleyInstitute.com to answer your question.
Judy,
Kevin,
Becca, Worsley, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Can I give you a hug?
Yes, please. I'm almost in tears. It's been
lovely.
It's been so lovely being with you. And the way you've listened gorgeous. And
thank you so
pulled
much.
pulled out from a deep level. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to be with you. Yeah, I appreciate it. And Sarah, amazing. Thank you. Yeah, amazing to be with you both.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. it may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Taxi!
Where to, miss?
Berkeley Square.
Yes, miss, but what number?
No number. Just Berkeley Square. When true lovers meet in Mayfair, so the legends tell. Songbirds sing, winter turns to spring. Every winding street in Mayfair falls beneath the spell. I know such enchantment can be, for it happened one evening to me. That certain night, the night we met, there was magic abroad in the air. There were angels dining at the Ritz, and the nightingale sang in Berkeley Square. I may be right, I may be wrong, but I'm perfectly willing to swear that when you turned and smiled at me, a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square. The moon that lingered over London town, poor puzzled moon, he wore a frown. How could he know we two were so in love? The whole darn world seemed upside down. The streets of town were paved with stars. It was such a romantic affair. And as we kissed and said good night, a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square. When dawn came stealing up, all golden blue, to interrupt.
I can't believe it. It is already home time.
I still remember.
So have you been playing along to this week's Game of Themes? Well, of course, in honour of Judy Becker Worsley. Well, the common theme, it's wonderful Judy's. So we started off with Judy Garland singing her beautiful song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And in the middle, sandwich in the middle, the wonderful Judy Becker Worsley herself. And we're finishing off with this glorious song, A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square by the truly, truly wonderful Judy Campbell.
I was there.
And on that note, thank you so much for joining me, Kevin Durge.
Ladies and gentlemen, Judy Campbell.
Radio. Please do stay tuned because coming up next, we have Chi Time with Clara Apollo. Until next time, goodbye.